This conference is being recorded.
Well, hello and welcome to the Heart Start to Your Week call on this Monday, June 30th, 2008. A very special call indeed, because I'm going to interview my mom. Or maybe she'll end up interviewing me. I don't know. We'll see. Welcome, Nancy.
Hello, Sheva.
And everyone listening, either live or on an archived recording. So for those listening live, I just want to let you know that you can mute your line by pressing star 6, and that will mute your phone. And when you want to ask a question or answer a question or just share a story of your own or participate in some way, you can press star 6 again, and that will unmute your phone. So my name is Sheva, and I am the CEO of a company called Fiera. Fiera is a word that we made up to mean feeling really great. And that's pretty much what we do here at Fiera. We teach people to feel great. And we teach them the science behind feeling great so that they can do it on purpose more often instead of just by serendipity or occasionally when they get to go see the chiropractor. So we are licensed by a company and a research institute called HeartMath, which has been studying the physiology of feeling great through looking at the causes, repercussions, and reversals of stress for the last 20 years. And out of that, they've developed a system of tools as well as a technology called the M-Wave that allow you to make feeling great a daily discipline. And you could imagine that if you felt great every day, that might free up a lot of time, energy, and attention. Because we always like these Heart Start calls, which are a free gift back to the community, to be directly valuable, impactful for you personally when you listen to them, either as a recording or in person. Obviously, we don't have time in a short introductory call to teach you all the science or all the technology or the tools themselves, but still, I always prefer that people walk away with some direct value that has impact in your life. So what I'd like everybody to do at the beginning of this call is just take a moment and see how much of your time, how much of your energy, even how much of your money and attention is tied up in trying to feel better.
Yeah.
Whether it's the food that you eat that maybe you feel worse after, and then you've got to go exercise, or any number of things that we do that is trying to chase feeling good, right? I have so much respect for our founding fathers, but they needed to do some NLP training or neuro-linguistic programming when they wrote into our Constitution that everyone has the right to pursue happiness. Mm-hmm. What if they wrote everyone has the right to catch happiness? Or to live in happiness rather than pursue it. So in the pursuit of feeling good, we spend a lot of time, energy, and attention. And what if rather than pursuing feeling good, we could learn a few simple exercises, just like an athlete does sit-ups and laps, that in 5 to 20 minutes a day, we could learn a few simple exercises that would allow us to feel better more often. Think how much time, how much energy, how much money that would save. So take a moment for yourself and just evaluate, where is my attention, where are my resources tied up in trying to feel better? So then I just want to open up the call here and just hear from those who are live on the call what you saw in that moment of evaluation. Anybody want to share anything? Make sure if you muted your phone that you unmute by pressing star 6. Or is nobody's time, energy, and attention tied up? Kelly, how about you?
I spend a lot of time trying to reduce anxiety about all the to-do items that I have, so trying to make lists and more lists and set priorities and trying to reduce that anxiety.
Mm-hmm. And so what are the methods you currently use and the time you spend to reduce the anxiety?
It's always a new method. Right now I spend about 20 to 30 minutes at the end of the day preparing for the next day, and I use note cards. So each thing that I have to do, whether it's work-related or personal, one item per note card, and then I'm able to sort and prioritize.
And is it working? Does it reduce your anxiety?
It is. I still have lots of things to do, but it's working for now.
Well, and it's such a simple example, right? This small half-hour discipline of writing what you need to do on note cards to reduce anxiety. With the reduction of anxiety, would you say that frees up your attention to experience more of the things you want to in your life?
It does, and it makes me sleep better, knowing what things can wait till tomorrow and that I focused on the right things during the day.
Yeah, it's a perfect example that you're giving us of how discipline yields more freedom. It seems like an oxymoron, but that's the topic for today, that the heart of discipline can actually bring us greater freedom. And I have a very special guest, the person that taught me that lesson, my mother, who happens to be here visiting me from Nova Scotia, Nancy Carr, who is a music teacher, a piano teacher, but also other forms of music. And an artist in many ways, including an artist as a friend. And she definitely taught me that freedom comes from discipline. And so discipline gets a bad rap in our culture. I mean, we even use the word as punishment. We're going to be disciplined for that, right? And yet, in its root, it comes from the word disciple, which means student, and implies devotion to something. And so, as I wrote about in the invitation for tonight's call, discipline, when it's in a truly heartfelt, devoted sense of being a student, whether it's of quality of life, as it is when we teach Fiera, and heart math through our classes, or in artistry, making music, or handling your things to do list, discipline can actually free our attention to feel better more often and to experience greater joy and greater mastery. So I want to open up the call to my mother and say, what would you like to say about this?
Where do I talk?
Just ask them if they can hear you.
Can you hear me? Nobody's answering.
Yes.
Thank you. Hi. I had troubles with the Heart Start call a little bit because it made me sound like one of those old classic piano teachers, very classically trained with the whip out, and or worse yet, what did they used to hit with the kids with
the ruler?
With the ruler, right? I've actually taught some people who went through that.
That would be the punishment.
That's the punishment form of discipline. To tell you the truth, if you ask people in the towns that I've taught, they would probably say, oh, she's the crazy, loose one that never demands anything of her students, and they can, she's loosey-goosey, and so on. But the truth is that deep underneath, I'm very conservative, and I really love discipline, and I feel like it's one of the greatest gifts I can give to these students. And you'll notice I'm not saying children, because at least a third of my class are adults, some of them pretty adult. And it doesn't matter what age you're talking about, tapping into that inner discipline is one of the most satisfying things you can do with your life. I guess what my philosophy about music, and it, I believe is true of all the arts, but definitely with music, that a study of the art really brings you right up against yourself. And so what it truly is deep underneath is a study of yourself. And that takes an awful lot of discipline. Because sure want to run away from that subject a lot of the times. But there's nothing in the world more satisfying. And once you uncover parts of yourself that you try and avoid, it's the sense of flying is absolutely there. That's probably the deepest part of it all. And then, of course, there are all the side parts of it as well. But I guess that's enough.
Shocking. But, of course, the real art is the art of living life. You know, we're building a new website for Fiera right now and playing around with different ideas, because how do you really communicate visually what this is? And one of the thoughts we had was to have a theme on the site with a paintbrush whose tip is the heart. Because really what we teach people how to do through the HeartMath system and the HeartMath tools, very simple tools, easy to use. You don't even need index cards for it because it's all right inside you. So if the drugstore's closed and you run out of index cards, you still can manage your anxiety because it's all happening inside your own heart. And so the idea here being that we teach people how to use the intelligence, the power, and the artfulness of the heartfulness of their heart to create their life as a work of art, a masterpiece for themselves. And a lot of the same principles that apply to mastery in any art apply to mastery in our lives, as you said. So you come up against your own sense of edge, whatever that might be. Some people feel like they can't do things, or and the heart finds, the word courage comes from the word core in French, which means heart. So the courage to push out of your comfort zone into areas you didn't think you could venture into, which is one of the freeing benefits of discipline. Because as you build muscle, whether it's emotional muscle or finger muscles in piano or toe muscles in point work for a dancer, you do things that you may have thought were impossible by daily adding energy, daily adding a new neurological pathway and regridding it on a daily practice. And so I remember being in my first year of university and having grown up around discipline the same way that some people are brought up in a religious tradition, that going to church is just what you do, practicing every day is just what you do. So I was a dancer, and every day we, you know, that's just what you do. And I thought that was discipline, showing up for dance every day, no matter how I felt, which meant at times I had exhausted myself beyond the ability to perform well, or starving myself so that I could get down to a certain weight and look a certain way as a dancer, thinking that was discipline. And as I learned heart math and learned about the heart, there was a major moment of transformation when I came to see that the real discipline was not setting up external structures and adhering to them no matter what. That was false discipline. That was easy discipline, because you didn't have to think. It was mindless. It was empty. It was robotic. That's not the discipline that gives you more freedom. That's actually a discipline that numbs and imprisons you, that makes you mechanical in your life rather than masterful. And what I discovered in the HeartMath system was a key that went into the keyhole of real discipline, which is the sensitivity to hear deeply yourself, your art, whatever that is, even if it's how to feed your body well or how to get your things to do list done or how to paint a painting or play a song on the piano, the heart can hear yourself and that which you're engaged in at a very sensitive level and respond to what does it need today. So my dance approach changed after I learned heart math. I no longer rigidly went to class and pushed myself to the limit in every class. There were some days when my heart said, back off a little bit. Only do the first half of class. Or just mark the positions instead of doing the whole thing. Let this be a rest day. And other days when my heart would say, now is time to go full out, even if I felt tired. And then I would hit a third or fourth wind, and suddenly there'd be a break, and the dance was doing itself. So discipline at a heart level, which is why, Mom, you mentioned earlier, as a piano teacher, you don't look disciplined. Mm-hmm. Because you're not doing the robotic discipline. You're teaching children and adults how to listen to themselves and listen to the music and listen to their artistry so that they can be continually inspired in the process of what they're engaged in, which doesn't mean you don't play scales or do what may look to an outsider like monotonous repetition, but you do it with heart. You do it with presence, with conscious awareness, rather than robotic repetition. Is there anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, this is the classic forever problem for a piano teacher is, how do we get everybody to practice? And with the kids, it's, I mean, you know, all of us say practice isn't fun. Nobody likes to practice. And with the kids, why should they? And with the adults, they don't have time. And so the question is, how do you deal with this as a teacher? You know, there have been a whole lot of ways piano teachers have dealt with it over the years. You have to make sure you play 10 minutes every day. I remember filling out a thing for Sheva when she took flute lessons and at school, and we had to fill out a thing that said that she practiced 10 minutes every day. And I so didn't believe in it and that I think I lied for her. I can't remember anyway. You know, the parent that's standing over the kid and the kid is just not there. Why bother? I mean, clearly this has to come from inside each person. It's because they have something they want to accomplish at the piano, and then to help them figure out how to do it. And then I use tools too, you know, not quite as esoteric, but, you know, just like I love your file card thing. I do the same kind of, I have often with students, especially junior high age, had them write out what they do every day or pick a particular time each day that's good to practice, some kind of structure that helps them find a way to do it. It never involves time. Always from the beginning I say, listen, if you can learn to do this in 5 minutes, how fantastic is that? Then you can either do twice as much piano if you choose, or you got extra time to go do other things and still get to play the piano. Fortunately, what happens is, the next step then is once you get yourself to the piano or to whatever task it is, then you have to bring yourself, and it's problem solving. And if you're just sitting there, as Sheva says, doing it numbly, without any thought, without any care, it's useless. In fact, you often end up practicing mistakes. And if that discipline is imposed from the outside, as from parents to children often, or from the parent inside the adult head to their child, it's useless. And I went through years of that, gritting my teeth, and I will get this done, I will do it. And you know, I couldn't do it because every muscle in my body tensed up. Then you can't do anything. It has to be thoughtful, problem-solving, and lo and behold, your 5 minutes, even for the little kids, when you can get them to the point where they're engrossed in it, absolutely thrilled with watching it get better, suddenly it's not 5 minutes, but it's 20, and they don't even know they've spent it. And at the end of the time, they're proud and happy and free.
I think that's a wonderful thing to bring in as another symptom of robotic automaton discipline is doing things for a certain length of time. and watching the clock. Because we have that saying, time flies when you're having fun. Time flies when you're in fiera, when you're feeling free. The discipline, the true discipline, is how do I always bring my passion, my joy to whatever I'm doing? That's the real discipline. And that's the discipline we teach at Fiera. That, and you said the word care. That's really the secret. You've got to find what it is you really care about in what you're doing. And researchers from HeartMath have discovered that care generates a uniquely ordered pattern in the heart rhythm, which then changes over 1,400 things in the body. Harmonizing and synchronizing all of the body systems. So, in fact, if you made care your only discipline, we just created a curriculum for elementary school students called Care Counts. Because we can measure the efficiency of care, that it makes a significant difference to your health, to your performance, to your ability to function, and your productivity. Measurably, so much so that we can approach a Fortune 500 company and they want to bring us in because we can measure the profitability increase when their employees really learn to care about what they're doing. Care, because it brings internal order, system-wide order, as well as organizational order, and as my mom just said, focus, accelerates exponentially the efficiency of your discipline, whatever it is. Even the use of your index cards or the scales you play on the piano, when you really care about what you're doing. And so when you make caring itself a daily discipline and coming back to care when you've been knocked out, either by overcare, which we would call worry or anxiety, or even anger or frustration or upset, all of those things would be overcare. Or no care, when you've been in so much stress for so long that you just don't even have the energy to bother anymore. Overcare and no care are the enemies to the daily discipline of care. And just like getting out of shape in anything, when we overcare or no care, there are daily exercises you can do in 5-10 minutes to find the heart of your passion and your care for whatever it is you do again. Practicing the piano. So if you can make caring a discipline, that brings true discipline to all your other disciplines, and it frees you, as you described, for you to become so fully engaged that there's no self-consciousness about what you're doing.
That's prime, because of course playing the piano is a performing art, and then you get into the whole world of performance, and of course performance has to do with us all. We perform daily in all kinds of ways, but it becomes a huge issue for my students when they are performing in any situation, often just for me in the lesson. Oh, I could do that at home. I could play it better when you weren't here. Could I try it again? I'm sure I could do it better. And of course, I know all of that, you know, and work with them. But the truth is that unless you're focused on the music, which is so easy to say, but unless you're focused on the music, all that inside junk in your body, and especially your head, can get in the way. And my adult students in particular, we talk about the little dialogues going on while we're actually performing, you know. I wonder if I look okay. Oh, my God, the hard part's coming up. I've never been able to do this. Oh, I'm going to fail. Oh, my God, I forgot. And then, you know, where did the music go? It totally disappeared, as did our wonderful experience of it. So, you know, in a sense, with that kind of lack of focus, or there's probably a more positive way to say it, everybody's a loser. But when you get into the other thing of, oh, wow, this piano is so beautiful, wow, did that note sound, that came out just the way I wanted it. Oh, here's that beautiful place that always makes me want to cry. Oh, wow, I just got goosebumps. This is such a beautiful piece. It's a whole different experience, you know. And at the end of it, really, as Sheva said in the Heart Start essay, You know, suddenly there she was pearling, and this girl who really had at one point focused so much on what the outside world thought of her, really didn't care, was almost surprised that they were even there, because it was her experience of flying that was the real gift. And what the outside world, you know, if they want to share it with us, how lovely. But it's that communication with ourselves in the world of art that's just so precious. And has nothing to do with how many years you've studied, with how beautifully you play, with whether you're talented or stupid or smart, or there's nothing to do with that. It's just participating in that incredible language of music.
Well, and not just music. This is really about life. Music is a metaphor for that. And there's in an African language, there's the word for health means full engagement with life. It doesn't mean the absence of disease like it does in our culture. And so we actually talked about the same, that discipline of appreciating what you're doing and being fully engaged with it, which again is that the discipline of being in the zone or fiera. That's the discipline we teach through our heart math tools, right? Applies to playing music, as you just said. It's disciplining yourself to make what matters, as opposed to make what doesn't matter the matter. And that's a discipline. Most people don't know that they can condition themselves physiologically to live in that zone of appreciation, to not go there, not go to what do I look like, how do I sound, what do they think of me, to just have a discipline where you don't go there, where you don't drain your energy and trap yourself in the prison of that self-conscious, vanity-driven life, that you can free yourself of that stress through the discipline of being true to your heart, which is to fully engage without self-consciousness in the full appreciation of what you're doing. And we use the heart math tools together at Christmas time, because Christmas is a perfect example where people get caught in the stuff that doesn't matter, right? Another example of that, just the mental chatter and the comparisons and the
in overcare, trying to not hurt anybody else's feelings, and, oh, what if they expect me to come home, and what if they expect me to go to them, and, oh, what if they don't like this present, and blah, blah.
Well, and so you want to share how we use the heart math tools in that? And did you, I'm curious if you've, having taken some of my heart math classes, have you used them at all when those insecurities come up when you're playing music and performing music?
I have to be honest and say no, but who knows? At some point I probably will, with this constant contact with her. it's a thought. I might revolutionize the whole way piano is taught. Anyway, I will just tell you that two Christmases ago, Sheva and I went to Nicaragua together, which was an astounding experience, and I had a wonderful, wonderful time. But I was exhausted when we came home, and I know that she was as well. And it was early December that we got back, and there were all kinds of, well, we had 2 weeks between getting back and Christmas, and it just looked overwhelming to try and get together. And we got on the phone, and I thought, oh, she's going to want me to go out to her in California, and I just can't face it. But I don't want to hurt her feelings, and I don't want to mess up her Christmas, and I didn't know where my son fit into all of this, and it was very tense. And we got on the phone, and we actually did the heart math stuff. We breathed through the heart, and then we focused, I don't know, the lingo. And as we both started to listen to our own hearts, I think I was the first one that said, well, Sheva, I really am clear. I do not want to spend the time. I'm clear on two things. I don't want to go clear to California, and I don't want to be away for a long time. And then bingo. And I had spent, I think, a lot of my life with everybody, but in particular Sheva, you know, trying not to hurt feelings or trying to do what I thought people wanted me to do or needed me to do or whatever. And this time I was just blatantly honest, and I thought, oh, God, this is going to make it awful for both of us. And lo and behold, just the opposite happened, and I'm going to give it back to her.
Well, I think part of what the story is illuminating is just that speaking your truth is a discipline. And knowing how to be able to do that, imagine how many relationships you could deepen or even save in your own life if you had the discipline to speak your truth. And again, it's a physiological thing. When we clam up and we literally just can't, it's physiology at play. It's a form of stress. And that can be reversed with the daily discipline of learning how to create this order internally in your heart rhythm, which keeps your brain functioning and allows you to speak your truth the way you could because we were using the heart math tools. So again, the heart's ability, you know, the sort of robotic discipline around the holidays is to do the obligatory things and to discipline yourself, quote-unquote, not to be selfish, to take care of everyone, right? This is the robotic discipline of the holidays. But the true discipline was to listen to your own heart and have the courage to speak your truth about what you really wanted and needed. And, of course, the value of that is because you're a part of all that is, everyone benefits from that. And so the point here is that those are skills that you can learn, and it turned out to be our best Christmas yet because we all held facets of what wanted to occur inside our heart. And by being courageous enough and disciplined enough to move past the sense of obligation or the fears of reaction and speak it honestly, we met in the middle, quite literally, and had this wonderful, really rejuvenating adventure. So you can see that the freedom inside of discipline, or the, I guess it would be more the discipline inside of freedom, that allows and is the foundation for freedom, can apply really to anything in your life. And what I love about the heart math tools and the heart math system is it's the discipline that informs all other disciplines. It's the primary or foundational discipline that allows you to access your care, your passion, your sensitivity, and your listening to the moment, that allows you to master any other art, which is maybe why the word heart has the word art in it. Is there anything else that you'd like to say, Mom, before we open up the call for questions? Or I'm going to add a little bit about heart math, but
I just would say that that's the other part of it that I think Sheva said, and this is maybe just reiteration. But unless the discipline has joy in it, it is a goal of mine that every student walk out of my house happier than they walked in. And partly because I want them to just have the joy of music. And I think that if they take that joy of what they're doing home with them, I stand a much better chance of having them actually develop the discipline. And so that's another, it takes courage to commit to anything like this. And but the rewards are just humongous.
In the intermediate heart math course, we have a beginner course starting tomorrow afternoon at 5 p.m. Pacific time, and you can actually attend that webinar for free the first night. The whole course is $300. The first night is free, and it will give you a sampling of how the webinars, which are online seminars on the phone, just like this one is, but you also get to see PowerPoint presentations on the computer as it goes by. You'll get a taste of how that works. And in the beginner course, you learn the tools, like the scales that a pianist learns, or the pliés that a ballet dancer learns, or the sit-ups that an athlete does. And in those first four classes, you learn how to neutralize your stress. You learn the impact that stress has on the brain, on the nervous system, on the heart rhythms, on hormones, how it adds to aging, how it creates a lack of focus that would interrupt all the other disciplines that you'd want to engage in, like your things to-do list or your other art forms, as well as just plain living the art of your life. And you learn how to get yourself on the spot without any other interventions, no drugs, no yoga mat, none of that, no twisting yourself in the pretzel, into the zone on the spot, anywhere, anytime. And then how to translate that into the transformation of stressful circumstances around you. And then you learn how to sustain that, because that's a piece of discipline, is sustainability, right?
Yeah.
That's why athletes condition themselves. Or you think about, we have the Olympics coming up in August. I work with and train a lot of Olympic athletes, and they go and train in high altitudes because it gives them more stamina. They build more red blood cells in high altitudes, and then they have more sustainability, more stamina. So small obstacles become, or even big obstacles become smaller because they have more muscle to deal with it. And so that's what we teach you ultimately in the beginner course, is how to develop an internal order muscle so that even when you get hit by stressors of life, because we don't claim we're going to take away all your life stress, what we can do is make you more resilient and more stronger, to have more stamina, so that when those things come, you can bounce back faster. So that's what's covered in the beginner course, but the intermediate first class in the intermediate course is really where this beautiful daily discipline happens. And I just love teaching that, because it takes everything you learn in the beginner course, and in 5 to 15 minutes a day, it gives you a simple step-by-step process you can do to, I call it consciousness house cleaning, to sweep out the overcares and the resignations and no cares of your life, the carelessness and the overcare, so that you can become carefree. And it's interesting, right? We can't really teach you how to activate that daily discipline until you have a foundation to activate it from. And that's part of discipline, is being willing to go through the process to lay the foundation so that you can fly. And heart math is very similar. The heart is a muscle, and you're able to condition yourself, your heart muscle, so that you can live in that zone of passion and care that brings freedom and life to all other discipline in your life. Anything else you want to add? So I'm going to open up the call now for those who are still on the line. If you're muted, you might want to press *6. I'd love to hear from you. Any questions you have, any stories of your own you want to share, or any feedback you have about our Heart Start calls. And do make sure that you press *6 to unmute before you speak. We have sometimes people chatting away without us being able to hear them.
This is Becky Fisher.
Hey, Becky.
Yes. Hey. I just found this to be a really, really awesome phone call. Certain ones just to speak to different people for different reasons. And I want to tell you, I love your idea of the paintbrush with the tip being a heart and creating your life as a work of art. That just, I mean, I had tingles, and it just, it even talking about it just gives me tingles. It's just, I think it's incredible. I think you should use it, and it's awesome. And several other things that I make to-do lists that are just so long, they're ridiculous, and I can never get them done. And I'm really seriously considering the card thing, which would help me to sort them and prioritize them. And I think that's a great idea. And the emphasis on the care about whatever you're doing versus just putting in the time, and I can see so much about how that would change everything. And you did such a good job of articulating that, you and your mother, and how that changes everything. I just want to thank you. It was really, really helpful.
Thank you, Becky. I'm so glad you could be here tonight. Thank you for the feedback, too. We'll get it to the graphic designer and see what he comes up with.
Okay.
So, anybody else have any feedback or anything they want to share?
Hi, Sheva. It's Salima.
Hey, Salima. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
It's nice to hear you, and it's nice to hear your mom.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The one thing that really pointed out to me besides the care, which I believe always stems from the heart, and, you know, I speak fluent French, so courage, meaning, you know, it comes from the word cœur, as you explained, the heart. But what was so nice that really stood out was the word listening. And it's so important that how listening is really like the base of everything, not just in the art field, but also how, you know, listening to human to human, which is the base of communication. And like you were saying earlier, how it truly, it could have really saved a lot of relationships if we just came and spoke from the heart and speaking the truth. And also being the moment, because when you do listen, it's truly in the moment. So whether you're on stage or off stage, I truly believe that the key is really listening. Listening, it's really where the word communication to me derived from, because you can't really be a good communicator or receive and communicate. You're communicating or receiving communication until you really are in that moment and really listening. Whether it's music or, you know, you're dancing or, you know, being an actor or even as a writer, you know, it's all listening. And I think that's the key, that connection. And I'm so glad you brought that word, because that really really popped.
It's beautiful. And my mom is sitting here pointing at her heart saying,
you've got to listen to yourself and, of course, your own heart.
Yes.
And that's, you know, and you can't really hear anybody else until you listen and hear yourself. You know, that communication is just, that's what an art is in some sense.
Yeah.
The ability.
It's all hand in hand together, and it's amazing how it always, you know. I think it's Stanislavski that says that life imitates art or art imitates life, because they pretty much go hand in hand.
Well, and so those who haven't been on the line know, and you're going to be in the beginner class tomorrow afternoon, right?
Right. I definitely want to check it out. I'm excited.
we have specific tools in weeks 3 and 4 in that class. In week 3, we teach you how to listen to your own heart. There's actually science that shows that there is an intelligence in the heart that speaks to the brain and to the ears, and that you can learn to listen to it. Quite literally, that idea of heart is more than just a poetic metaphor. It's a literal, scientifically proven thing.
Wow.
And once we teach you to listen to your heart, then there's a special place where we teach. We teach you to listen to others. Now, Mom, today we went for a walk on the beach in Santa Monica before the call, and I was doing the listening tool with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did it feel to feel that way?
A little scary. She was finding out that I'm...
What was it she said in the beginning of the call, that piano is where you meet yourself when you're willing?
That's where the freedom is?
It's true, it's true.
So we teach you specific tools to be able to listen first to yourself and then to the people that you love and even the people that irritate you. And sometimes I guess they're the same people, but much less so when you learn really listen in that discipline of care.
Yeah.
Thank you, Salima, for highlighting. Beautiful.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, and Salima has written a beautiful play that to me is the listening of our culture. A play about genocide in Darfur, yes?
Right.
There's a listening to culture and what it needs. And as we listen, then we can share and help others to hear, and in that we all become a service to one another.
It's true.
And that to me is the power of the heart. What I love about our year-long program called Heart Mastery here at Sierra is that it takes people on a journey from first learning how the discipline of listening to themselves and getting their own needs met, to the discipline of bringing the value of the heart to their homes and their own workplace, to then the freedom, because they're not tied up in their own stress, to be of benefit, service, contribution to the world, whatever the skills, talents, and abilities are to do that. And so the Heart Mastery Program, freedom to serve, comes in the discipline of transforming your own narcissistic, tied-up, tangled life. Then you're free of value to your world. My passion, my Fiera. So I'm glad you're sticking your toe in the water and taking the first step tomorrow, Salima. And I welcome anyone who's listening to join us tomorrow. You can register for that free webinar on the homepage of our website. It is www.fierafantasticyera.com. If you know you want to register for the full course or more information about our year-long program, you can also contact me 310-581-1507. You can also email me, Sheva, S-A-M, H-E-V, like victory, A, at fiera.com. Kelly, I'm curious to check back in with you because you were interested in the possibility of having something that wouldn't require a lot. I think that's one of the things we've unveiled here is that discipline frees time. That it's efficient, that actually part of the freedom of discipline is that it's efficient and it frees up resources. And Kelly, that was one of part of your interest in participating in this call. You were looking for efficient ways to free yourself from anxiety. I'm wondering if you got your questions answered or if there's anything else you have for us.
Well, it seems like there's tools available, so I am going to take the free beginner's class tomorrow to learn more about what tools are available.
Excellent. Good. I look forward to hearing you on tomorrow's call. Yeah, it's exquisite. And, you know, I've decided recently to allow people to take the first night of the intermediate course once they've taken the beginner course, also as my guest, just because it gives you... It's sort of like, okay, you go to the piano teacher and you learn all the scales and you learn all the notes and you learn, you know, what to do on a day-to-day basis, but then how do you put it all together in your daily 15-minute practice to make those 15 minutes count? And that's the first intermediate class. So I can definitely say it's changed my life. I want to think about how it's changed.
I mean, Stella was... an absolutely wonderful child from the very minute she probably was conceived. But there were some times, and I often, when they ask what Sheva's doing, I say, she's a stress management consultant, and she's walking evidence of how well it works. That she went through some pretty rough times in her adolescence. We went through some pretty rough times in her adolescence. And today I thought, wow, this is a nice, easy day she has here. I'm visiting for the first time in a long time. And it turns out then she laid out for me all the stuff she was doing all day long. And she did accomplish an enormous amount today. But it didn't feel stressed. It did not feel, it was efficient. She just did what she needed to do when she needed to do it and was here with me the rest of the time. Very exciting. She really has, she accomplishes an enormous amount, very little wear and tear on her.
I think that's a perfect example, right? It's like today is a work day for me, but having you... with the heart added, it's add on for all of us, you and everything. And because I have the discipline not to stress about the deadlines and all this that are on our plate, it allowed us moments that we didn't anticipate to go for a beach walk and have a beautiful lunch and to be in the flow. So my discipline of being in the heart was able to free our my attention. We can really enjoy. And that's Fiera, right? That's it, to be able to enjoy every moment of your life, whatever it's giving you, because your attention is freed in the discipline of the heart. So I welcome all of you to that. I thank you for joining the Heart Call this evening. Even for those who are listening to this recording, you can reach us if you have at 310-581-1507. And you can access teleclasses on our website at www.yera.com/heartstart.html. All these free Heart Start calls are recorded, so you can access topics as the heart relates to many, many different things. Any other last or input before we close the call today? Well, as we're signing off, I want to invite you to just take a moment and focus your attention in the area around your heart. And just ask yourself, where could I bring more care, more true discipline, the discipline of passion and care to what I do in my heart? And allow for any about how care or passion might express itself. How could I discipline myself to be more caring and more passionate about what I do? Not be robotic or mechanical in what I do. Knowing that as you care, as you activate your own passion, whatever it is, that brings not only internal order to your system, but it causes you to be a source of greater joy, greater freedom, and greater passion in our world. Thank you, of course, to my mother for bringing me into the world and for bringing me into the world of freedom through discipline. And thank you so much for being a good sport and participating today.
Thank you for having me. I wish I could meet each of you.
Have a wonderful week, everyone, and we'll look forward to joining you next week.
Yeah, you have a wonderful week, too, and enjoy your visit with your mom.
Thank you, Salima.
And I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, I'll meet with many of you tomorrow at 5.
Okay, thank you, Sheva. And thank you, Mom.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.